engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to our scripture reflection and time of prayer together. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for joining us. Share this video as we go through this time together, and do leave your comments indicating to all of us how we can pray for you today, because we want to lift you up and your loved ones, and as we lift up our whole nation, church, and world. I want to read, after we do our initial prayer, from the gospel passage assigned for today, and draw some reflections from that, especially in terms of our work of healing after abortion. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the King of the universe. You suffered and died for us, winning victory over all power of evil, sin, and death. You wash away our sins in your blood, including the sin of child killing. And Lord God, we proclaim life and we proclaim mercy. We ask you to continue to sustain us in bringing healing to all those who have been wounded by abortion, and bringing life to all and healing to all from any wound, protecting life from every and any danger, because you have told us, Lord Jesus, that you came that we might have life and have it to the full. You are life. You said, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You said, I am alive forevermore. And your apostle Paul declared that death has no more power over you, which means that it has no more power over us. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Lead us to the Father. Expand through us the kingdom of life. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, let me read to you this passage from Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, Son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called the blind man, saying to him, Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man replied to him, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, Go your way. Your faith has saved you. Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. So many lessons from this. First of all, many try to rebuke those who are seeking Jesus, seeking, praying to him, seeking his healing, knowing that he is the one who can give that healing. Notice how they rebuked him. He's there in need, and instead of bringing him right from the start to Jesus, having an understanding that of course Jesus would want to see him, of course Jesus would want to help him. No. Some people think they're smarter than Jesus, and they try to rebuke those who are looking for him, who are crying out his name. Don't let them stop you. That's the lesson here. That's going to be the case. People are going to try to block you from Jesus, and they do it in many different ways. Some of them very, very subtle ways, saying, well, you don't need a religious solution to this. See, this is one of the traps going on in the pro-life movement. Happens in other movements too. It is completely true, and if you study my teachings on abortion and the pro-life movement, you know that I follow this truth that we make our arguments based on human reason. We've got lots of arguments for the pro-life position based on science, based on psychology, sociology, based on the natural human sciences, based on the power of human reason to know that the child in the womb is a human child and that abortion is an act of violence that destroys that child. But this does not mean that religious arguments have no place. Most of our audience are religious believers. Most of America is still a body of people who believe in the Lord, who believe in the word of the Lord. You don't drop out of the discussion or erase from the equation the religious reasons for being pro-life, the first of which is that Almighty God became a human life. That's a pretty powerful testimony to what he thinks about human life. He jumped into it. He became human. He took upon himself a body and a soul. And we can't, you know, to say that the pro-life message can stand on reason, that it begins with reason, that reason alone leads us to the conclusion that abortion is wrong, you can say all that. And you would be correct. And yet that's still not a reason to leave out the religious dimension. So don't let people try to make you be quiet about calling out the name of Jesus as you're doing your pro-life work. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on us. Deliver us from this culture of death. Awaken people, Lord, to the very conclusions that their reason and that science does bring us to, but that sin is obscuring. Yes, reason can get to the truth, but also remember, sin obscures reason. And people need faith, the light of faith, to shine through that darkness, eliminate that sin, and bring us back to the very conclusions that reason asserts. He kept calling all the more. The man had courage. He had perseverance. You keep calling on Jesus, even when the noise of the crowd is drowning you out. And then Jesus says, call him. Bring him here. And they say to him, Jesus is calling you. Hear those words addressed to you. Hear those words addressed to the unborn child being blocked away from healing and being saved because of the noise of a pro-abortion culture. Let's understand and let's reflect this truth. Jesus is calling him, calling her, calling them, calling the unborn, calling them to life. Jesus is calling you. If you are wounded, if you are in desperation, if you feel alone, if you feel abandoned, if you feel far from God, if you feel like God doesn't even know who you are, hear these words today. Jesus is calling you. Bypass the negativity of the crowd and go to him. And then when Bartimaeus does go to him, Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? That's curious because Jesus already knows. He knows everything. Was he asking Bartimaeus what he wanted Jesus to do for him because he didn't know? Or because he wanted Bartimaeus and wants us to be active participants in our healing? It's the latter. Of course, he wants us to be active participants. And this tells us a lot, by the way, about the whole area of healthcare. Healthcare is not something imposed on us. Healthcare is not something done to us like we do something to an object that we make or that we repair. You're going to bring your car into the shop. We're going to repair the car. The car is completely passive. The car is a thing that you do something to. You don't ask the car, do you want me to rotate your tires? Do you want me to replace the bumper? You don't ask the car anything. But when it's a person who needs some healing, when it's a person who has part of his or her body that is broken or has to be repaired or replaced, when it's a person, you do ask. Because that's a person that has freedom. That's a person that has equal dignity to any doctor who is intervening to assist their health. You're talking about a person. You're talking about an equal. You're talking about somebody who is not to be merely a passive recipient of health care, as if this health care is some kind of favor given from the government or owned by some big corporate entity. Patients have to be in charge of their health care. The doctor is assisting the person in his or her own fulfillment of human dignity. And therefore, patients, together with their physicians, have to reclaim control of their health care from government entities or big corporate entities. The personal dimension of healing is brought out very powerfully here by the fact that Jesus wants this man to articulate what he needs. Master, I want to see. He's giving informed consent, isn't he? You know, in the context of abortion, two things come out here. First of all, when we have a society that devalues human life, they're going to devalue health care. Abortion is not part of health care, but it is part of a system that has a twisted notion of health care and wants to impose on people care that is not care at all, but that is destructive. That's why the so-called choice of abortion, those who advocate that, also advocate abortion without choice. They are against informed consent laws because they know that the more a person knows about abortion, the more they're going to reject it. And if they reject it, then the abortion industry, which they are serving more than they are serving the people, is going to lose money. Don't be deceived by those who are saying abortion is healthcare. But then this brings up finally another dimension, that this story of the blind Bartimaeus is a key element in Rachel's Vineyard healing retreats. As you know, Rachel's Vineyard is an aspect, a ministry of Priests for Life. I serve as the pastoral director for this ministry worldwide, have done so for decades. And what we do in these retreats is to welcome people who have lost children to abortion, and we welcome them in the context of the Word of God and the sacraments for those who are Catholic. And we bring them into these settings of confidential care with other people who have also lost children to abortion, with clergy, with professional counselors, bringing them together for a weekend in which they face honestly, as John Paul II tells us to do in Evangelium Vitae 99, where he addresses directly those who've had abortions, face honestly what has happened. Stop telling yourself the lies that others have fed you about, oh, this is not a baby, oh, abortion is going to help you. No such thing. Face honestly what happened. And then with the expert care and guidance of others, come to healing and trust your child to the Father of Mercies. And then your voice can become among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. This is the roadmap laid out by St. John Paul II. This is a roadmap that the church and the pro-life movement and Rachel's Vineyard follow. And in the midst of these retreats, we have what are called living scriptures. We let people enter into certain scriptural passages, and this is one of them. So that the people on the retreat in a small circle are put themselves into the role of the blind Bartimaeus, calling out to Jesus, and the member of the clergy who is present goes around the circle to each person and says to them, face to face, what do you want me to do for you? They say, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. And they have in mind the particular need of healing of which they stand in need, healing of anger, to the person who forced them to have the abortion, the healing of the wounds in their body, maybe it's infertility, or some other damage that was done to them by the abortion, healing of relationships. Maybe their marriage is falling apart as a result of the abortion, as so many marriages do. You name it, whatever that need is, and there are many different needs on the part of those wounded by abortion. They have that in mind. Jesus, have pity on me. What do you want me to do for you? The priest or pastor says to them. Then they name the specific need that they have, and they are prayed over at that moment. It's a very powerful thing to actually enter in physically, verbally, to the very scripture passage that you're reading. You don't just read it. You don't just hear it. You live it. The living scriptures. And this is a key aspect of that kind of healing that Rachel's Vineyard brings about. Because remember, we're looking at abortion as a trauma, and we're using this sensory involvement in the healing process that any kind of treatment of trauma requires. It's not just talk therapy. It involves entering into a living event and using all the senses to do that. So beautiful, beautiful lessons from the story of Bartimaeus. Let's turn again to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, like the blind Bartimaeus, we are calling out to you. We will not let anything hinder us from calling out to you, Lord Jesus. We will not let anybody deter us from seeking you. And when we find you, Lord, we know that you already know what we need, but we know you want us to ask. You want us to name the pain that we have. You want us to admit the need that we have. You want us to tell you. And so we do, as active participants in our healing. And Lord, we pray today for the healing that we need. We pray for the intentions of all those who come to you today with their needs. And we pray in a particular way, as we are reminded today of Rachel's Vineyard by this special scripture passage. We pray in a particular way today for those who have had abortions and for the healing they need. And we pray for the moms. We pray for the fathers, those that have lost their children to abortion, even though they did not have the procedure on their body, they still experienced a loss. We pray for the grandparents of these aborted babies. Maybe they tried to save their grandchild. Maybe they were the ones forcing the abortion. Maybe they didn't even know about it and found out when it was too late. Bring healing to the grandparents. Bring healing to the siblings, those children who live with the horrifying realization that their mom had their brother killed or their sister or multiple siblings. Help them deal with the survivor anxiety, survivor guilt that come from that. Lord, whatever the wounds are, bring healing today. With this and all our intentions in mind, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Friends, remember, abortionforgiveness.com is the website where you can find the nearest Rachel's Vineyard retreats or other ministries for healing after abortion. There are a number of them. And from the beginning, one of the works that I have done in this movement is to bring together various ministries for healing after abortion. Look at that website and pass the word along to others, because you'll be able to connect with these ministries nearest to whatever zip code you enter onto that page, abortionforgiveness.com. Let's promote Rachel's Vineyard, the other programs of healing. Let's bring people to the mercy of God and his healing, just like Bartimaeus found. God bless you all. We will talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.